And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to begin this morning, my siblings in Christ Jesus, by asking for your forgiveness. Not for my sermon being shorter than I intended, though that is true. My mother is in hospital in Indianapolis, and some of the time that I had set aside for writing this weekend was spent driving. No, I want to ask your forgiveness because I'm a little grumpy. This is my least favorite day of the year. Not Lent 3, it's this time change nonsense. Why are we still doing this? I grew up in God's country, in Indiana, where we didn't change our time. Until, of course, Mitch Daniels ruined it. So each spring, we sweet, sweet, innocent, mourning people are handed into the tyrannous hands of night owls so they can have an extra hour of light. Why do I have to labor early in the morning in the dark? The only thing that brings me less joy is the thought of permanently going to daylight savings time. All right, therapy session ended. Let's move on. Now, we continue our sermon series this morning on the Lord's Prayer with perhaps the most inconsistently translated petition. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Is it trespasses? Is it sins? Is it debts? Well, if we look at the Greek to get a little clarity, which I'm sure is a sentence we often utter during the week, but if we look at the Greek to get a little clarity, we'll see that ophilema, which is the word used in Matthew's gospel for this petition, is used only one other time in the New Testament. It's in St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome when he writes, "Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but has something due." It is that something due that is our word, ophilema. So we can see there easily this is debts. So how do we end up with sins or trespasses? Well, then we look at Luke's gospel and we see that he uses a completely different Greek word here. He uses hamartia, which translates sin or sins or sinning. There, we have our answer. And while there are moments where deep textual cross-referencing could and should continue for a while, this is not one of those moments. In our Book of Common Prayer, this petition is traditionally translated with trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And in Rite 2, next to that translation, we can see that it's translated there as sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, I don't think it takes a whole lot of mental energy to see the similarities between trespasses and sins. But we may find ourselves asking, what is sin? Perhaps that's where we should begin this morning. Sin is a difficult concept to the modern mind. We've been told that many things are sins or sinful, only to find out that those things are just people's opinions, which is honestly a decent window into sin. Sin takes root when we are too concerned with our own thoughts and beliefs rather than grounding ourselves in the deep truth of Jesus Christ. The Catechism of the Episcopal Church defines sin like this: sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and with all creation. To paraphrase, sin is anything that separates us from God, neighbor, or creation. It starts to get a little intimidating when we think about it like that. It's a pretty big list, at least mine. But when we begin to think of sin as a distortion of relationships, we begin to see sin all around us. It's overwhelming. And I think that's why, historically, we've tended to think of sin rather narrowly. Murder, adultery, lying, stealing, these are sinful. In the sixth century, even, the church sat down and came up with seven deadly sins, right? Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, sloth. Though in the social media age, pride is just what it takes to go viral. Gluttony manifests in our setting aside of fasting as a spiritual practice. And wrath, well, war is awfully good for those in power, so if we don't have power, we should probably just be quiet. But when we begin to reframe sin as distortion of relationship, we begin to see our need for forgiveness around every corner. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness for the distortion that we bring to the world, for the disharmony that we cause through gossip and lying, the disunity we bring in our refusal to tear down the walls that separate us from living into the fullness of the rainbow people of God. And as we grow more aware of our own need for forgiveness, we become more prone to offer forgiveness to others. We're more willing to forgive those who have wronged us. Not because it doesn't hurt, not because what they have done to us hasn't changed us, not because we are being Pollyanna. No, we offer forgiveness because it's what Jesus asks us to do. And when our motivation in this life is following Jesus, the rest will fall into place. When we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," we should do so with expectation of bringing healing and wholeness to our lives, and hope that we will bring healing and wholeness to the world around us. We are living in an incredibly immoral age. An age in deep need of forgiveness. An age where norms are disregarded, where order is torn down at an alarming rate. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This petition, this prayer, this clarion call could be a springboard for our mission and ministry. We can be agents of mercy and forgiveness. We can be agents of faith, hope, and love. We can be agents of truth in a post-truth society. When we commit ourselves to the work of receiving and offering forgiveness, we commit ourselves to the work of Jesus Christ, and that work will never falter. That work will never lead us astray. That work will not only change our lives, but it will change the lives of everyone in this world. It will lead to the remaking of this world. So I urge you, my sisters and brothers, commend even, to carve some time out this afternoon. Go outside. Take a walk. Sit in silence and use that time to examine the places in your lives where your relationships are distorted. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your neighbor, your relationship with creation. Ask for forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. be grounded in the knowledge that your Creator seeks you always. It is constantly calling you back into perfect relationship. Trust in that grace, and then offer that grace to all whom you encounter. And now, in the words our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.